In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This first Sunday in Lent in the Orthodox Church is called the Sunday of Orthodoxy, a day decreed by the Church in the year 841 to recall and celebrate the restoration of the holy icons to the Church after a 100-year-long struggle and persecution at the hands of the iconoclasts, those who wanted to destroy the icons. It is a day as well to celebrate orthodoxy, to celebrate right belief as a gift from God, as a gift most clearly manifest in the icon of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in Him God became man, and we can show His picture, His icon. He, Jesus Christ, is the truth about God, and He is the truth about man. He is the perfect image, the perfect icon of God. He is the perfect image, the perfect icon of a human being. He is the heart of our orthodoxy we celebrate. Indeed, He is the head of the Church, and the Church is His body. As we read in Ephesians, first chapter, and He and God hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the Church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. God fills all things, but His fullness is in the Church. St. Anthony the Great said, I want you to know this, that Jesus Christ our Lord is Himself the true mind of the Father. By Him all the fullness of every rational nature is made in the image of His image, and He Himself is the head of all creations, and of His body the Church. Therefore we are all members one of another, and the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, Christ promised upon His ascension to be with us always is manifest, we believe, in the Church. And that promise was fulfilled at Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, fulfilling Christ's words, would guide the Church into all the truth. John 16:13. As theologian Clark Carlton points out, notice that our Lord did not say, I will send you a book which will tell you everything you need to know. Rather, He promised the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth who guides the Church into all the truth. And He adds, this is not meant to disparage the Bible. Indeed, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. The point is, however, that the Church is the body of Christ. The Church is the body of Christ, not the Bible. The divine Scriptures were written in the Church by the Church and are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Scripture declares the Church to be the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. The same Scripture declares that it is the Church, not the Bible, which is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And just as we believe and affirm that in Jesus Christ there is a true and unbreakable union of God and man, so His Church is a divine and human mysterious reality in the world. Christ is the head, and the Church is His body, and that union is confirmed in our partaking of the body of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the Church, His body, and His abiding presence with us, Christ and the Church together. Remember, as the Scripture said, the Lord is everywhere, but His fullness is in His Church. In many ways, the struggle for the holy icons was just to affirm that truth of Christ's abiding presence in the Church. St. Nikolai of Serbia said, pagan kingdoms rise and fall, but the church remains, grows, and progresses. He said one would think that the pagans would overwhelm the church like a tidal wave on a small island. Our processions, as we process today, affirm that the church marches on. The church marches on, following the path of the saints in unchanging and unfading glory. Brothers and sisters, when you enter into an Orthodox church service, you witness a worship that has not changed in centuries. That has not changed in centuries. The service of the Divine Liturgy has been offered unchanging from before America existed, from before the Reformation, which is to say, before all the denominations came to be, from before the papacy went off the rails. This service of the Divine Liturgy has continued to be offered in the same way, with the same faith. And this service and this church have survived centuries of brutal persecution at the hands of pagans, at the hands of Muslims, at the hands of communists, and even at the hands of other Christians. Is that not reason enough? Is that not reason enough to celebrate Orthodoxy today? I have lived a few years, 50 plus, but in terms of church history, it's a mere blink in time. But in my short lifetime, virtually every other church and denomination has changed. Some quite radically, whether in their teaching or in their worship, their practice. They have changed to accommodate the times, to accommodate the people, to make it more comfortable, more convenient. Change to accommodate, to adapt to the modern world. Just in my lifetime, virtually everyone. To be changeless, though, is not about conservatism. It's about God, the changeless God, the changeless church. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And we believe we are protected from change. Protected from change that would lead us astray. One other thing we notice in the first week of Lent, nowadays every other church tells you that you're good, that you're even the elect, that you're good folks because of your membership, or that you're made good automatically by Christ's sacrifice, and that you are heaven-bound, glory-bound. This church, utterly out of step with the times, tells you to weep for your sins. To weep for your sins. To fall down before God, to repent deeply. Because the holy fathers of past generations wept for their sins. And they were truly good people. Holy men and women. There's a story of one of the great desert fathers who was on his deathbed, had reached the end of his days after gloriously serving God with prayer and fasting and worship for years and years. He was a great elder of the church, the spiritual father of many. And on his deathbed, he said, "I need more time. I need more time." And they said, "Why, Father?" He said, "I need more time to repent." And they said, "But Father, you are perfect." And he said, "I've only begun. I've only begun now to repent." And then his face shone with the uncreated glory of God, and he passed from this life to his reward. Not a popular message, weep for your sins. It's not going to sell tickets. But it's a message needed for your soul and for mine. A message which protects us from deception and from self-delusion, which is so prevalent, from a false image, a false icon of ourselves. It's a way of humility. Orthodoxy is. Orthodoxy is the way of humility. That certainly is not the spirit of the times. Now it's the age of the brash and fake image, of keeping up illusions by images, of public relations campaigns, and to create a public image that's all so superficial. And about American idols and papal idols. And could one hardly imagine a holy elder being paraded through a crowd cheering him? Could one imagine those who have met Elder Ephraim, would he ever allow himself to be placed on a truck and paraded through a crowd of cheering? St. John Chrysostom, they used to start clapping at his sermons. They were so great, and he would yell at them to shut up. We prefer holy images and humble images, icons of truth, beauty, and holiness, kept in the church, celebrated in the church, holy images which invite us in, draw us in, call us in to the heavenly landscape, into the heavenly realm. Here in Orthodoxy, we sinners honor and venerate, however imperfectly and poorly, the image, the icon of Jesus Christ our Lord. Our church keeps us in front of that holy image of Christ, which despite our sins is our only hope and the only image we truly need in our minds and hearts. And we pray that he would not turn his holy face, his holy image, away from us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.
Glory.